The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the management of KUCI or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show, go to kuci.org.
This is KUCI 88.9 in Irvine. Welcome to In the Garden. I'm Tina Spindler, a University of California Master Gardener. And today's topic for our show is one that is near and dear to all of the students in UCI, because we're going to be talking about UCI's very own community gardens. On campus at the University of California, Irvine, you are lucky enough to have four community gardens. Ants in Your Plants, love that name, is one of the community gardens, and it's open to anyone in the university. It's really a community garden in the truest sense of the word, in that it is worked by everyone in common as a community. In other words, nobody has their own individual plots. So the students and faculty who are involved and staff, it's open to anyone that's in the UCI community, all work the garden in common and enjoy the harvest as a group effort. The other community garden at, or one of the other of the four, is called Ant Hill Village, another great name. I feel I live on an ant hill. I think all of Irvine lives on an ant hill, but I love that name. Ant Hill Village is the oldest community garden on UCI's campus. It started in 1985, and it's been relocated several times as construction has occurred throughout the campus. And right now it's a 99-plot community garden. And what's unique about this one is that it's also open to the surrounding community. So you don't have to be a member of UCI student, staff, or faculty community. You actually can just be a member of the general community. However, it does have a long waiting list. If you're interested in finding out more about that particular one, you can visit clubs.uci.edu. And then finally, there are two grad student gardens on the campus, one called Palo Verde and one called Verano Place. And I have a guest in the studio today who is a gardener at Verano Place. His name's Michael Van Dam. Welcome, Michael.
Hi, Tina.
Good to have you on the show.
Well, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thanks. So you are a grad student at UCI. What is it that you're studying at UCI?
I'm studying classics.
Classics?
Yeah.
Awesome. And how long have you been a student?
Oh, I've been there since, well, this will be my third year.
Third year.
I transferred. I'm a transfer student. So this will be my third year in the classics department as an undergraduate, actually.
As an undergraduate?
Yes.
Ah.
So I'm in the graduate community because I'm over 25.
I see.
Yeah.
Very cool. So this is a later course of study for you then.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
And classics. Wow, that's awesome. How long have you been involved in the community garden?
For about 1 year.
1 year?
Yeah.
And you have a plot. Can you tell me a little bit about how the garden is organized?
Yeah, we have 50 plots in the garden, and they're about 10 by 10, typically. And there's a waiting list, so it took a while for me to get into the garden, maybe 6 months.
I see.
We have 30 people on our waiting list now.
Wow.
So, so then I finally got in last year around November, and I didn't really get going till January or February because it was the end of the quarter and, you know,
sure,
the break, Christmas break came up.
Yeah. Great. So what did you grow when you first started? What were your crops of choice?
The first great crop I had was sugar snap peas.
Ah, one of my favorites too.
And I grew beets because it was, you know, it was winter. It was still. So I had a great crop of beets. Chard.
Uh-huh.
The chard plant's still going strong, actually. And what else did I have? Kale. My kale is still great.
Great.
Yeah.
So now in the organization of this garden, each person has their own individual plot, correct?
Yes, that's right.
And 30 people on the waiting list.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's in high demand and we only have 50 plots. We probably would be good to have more, but that's what we have.
So maybe have to talk to UCI administration about more community gardens. That sounds like there's a pretty heavy demand.
There is a demand. I think there is a need for it. It seems to be increasing. I think the interest has perked up. So, yeah, I mean, we're talking about that, how we could, potential spaces, and then how they would be managed. Because we don't really have more space in that location, so it might have to be another space. So we'd have to figure out how to manage that effectively. But certainly we're discussing it.
That's great. Yeah. Now you talk about managing, and that just brings to mind in all community gardens, there needs to be some sort of management structure of that community garden. How do you guys handle managing the who gets a plot, how they're maintained? I assume you have certain standards as to how you want them maintained. How do you guys manage that?
Yeah, we have a contract which spells out the rules. Actually, we've just been working on it. You know, we tweaked it a little bit this for the next contract period, which starts in October, actually.
And is that an annual contract?
No, we do two contracts a year.
Two a year,
yeah.
Okay.
So one through from October to April, and one from April through October. So, and then that spells out basically the expectation and the rules. Yeah, we have a list of rules that you have to follow, and it's not that complicated, but I think it is important to have it written down, give everybody a copy, they have to sign it,
right?
And that way you know, we can ask people to live up to the expectations, and
sure,
so that everybody's productively engaged.
Right. Do you find that most people continue on, or do they have their 6-month term and then relinquish it for, could that be because they're finished at UCI or it just doesn't interest them? How much turnover, in other words, would you say there is?
Well, I've only been there a year or so, but I think it feels like most people, when they get a plot, they end up hanging on to it. But we have people that, you know, really don't have time. That's the biggest issue, is that I think people don't really know how much time it takes to garden.
Right.
Even a small plot. Or they don't quite take it seriously, but because we have such limited space, you know, we do ask people to really come out and actively garden.
Sure. Especially since you have a waiting list.
Since we have the waiting list. So that's kind of been our transition, is getting more focused on that, you know, and I think that's part of our challenge to educate people better. And so we've been trying to give people realistic estimates, like how much time a week.
Oh, what a good idea.
So we're telling people, look, you need to plan on spending an hour or two every week.
Right.
I know it's a small piece of ground, but it's just what it takes, because we have to hand water in our garden.
Oh, so you hand water. There are no automatic sprinklers.
Yeah, we don't allow timers or anything. So right. You have to be there. If you set your garden up right, you can maybe just put the hose in the garden. But you have to show up.
Right.
So.
And in the summer, probably several times a week because of the heat.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Now, do you feel that you get a lot of production off of your plot? That it's sufficient to really add to your diet?
I think so, yeah. And I'm working on maximizing that more. I know that I can. So certainly the potential is there. So, yeah, you can get out of 100 square feet, I mean, if you do it right, you could have a half a dozen tomato plants, which is more tomatoes than two people can eat.
Right? Yeah, that's for sure, if they were producing.
And then you could have one zucchini plant, which is always more zucchini than you can eat. And then, you know, I had a bean crop this summer, green beans, and it was tons of green beans.
Now, do you guys have a system for sharing? For instance, if your tomatoes come in kind of all at once, which they often do, or your zucchini, do you have a system of sharing?
You know what? We don't.
No,
and
not yet.
We should. I mean, we have a casual one because we have a Facebook page, and people will post like, "Hey, I've got a ton of this," or you just know other people, and they're like, "Hey, do you want some of my?" You know, I do that. I give people.
Right.
I give people beans and kale and onions and stuff. I have just extra. I give beets, you know, I give stuff away.
Yeah.
So that's kind of our informal way. But we probably ought to figure out a way of coordinating that online or in the space, maybe have a board and a place to do that. It would be more efficient. Yeah.
Yeah. So you said you have a Facebook page. I understand that is Verano Community Organic Garden is your Facebook page name. So so if anyone on campus is listening to this and they're interested in learning a little bit more about your opportunity to garden there and want to get on your waiting list, they could check out your Facebook page.
Yeah, it's an open page. Yeah, and then we have the Blogspot, the web page where we manage our waiting list, and it's more the official.
Official. Okay, so and that one is veranogarden.blogspot.com. So anyone can visit that.
Anyone can visit that. The garden is restricted to Verano residents. But, and so you have to get on the waiting list to participate. But we have our orchard that we just put in January.
Yeah, I you invited me out to that orchard, and I was so impressed. It's I came out last spring, and it had only been in for a few months, and it was doing fabulously. So tell me a little bit more about the size of the orchard, what you planted, and what its condition is now.
Well, we have about 15, 18 trees, I think, and trees are still getting established, so we have a little bit of fruit out there, but not much. You know, just a handful of persimmons, a few apples. But the trees are, you know, they're getting themselves established. The roots are getting stronger. The main thing is that we're really trying to improve our soil. So the soil out there is just this kind of hard clay. It wasn't very good quality.
Right. That's what we live with here in Irvine.
Yeah. So we mulched. We haven't done very much yet, but what we did do is we put about 8 inches of mulch around all the trees.
Oh, that's great.
And then we have fertilized with some fish emulsion and some alfalfa meal. And it's interesting because in the last 3 months, we noticed that the soil has loosened up already significantly from that muddy, hard clay. It's now a lot more permeable.
You know, I'm really glad you mentioned that because I think a lot of people who garden, even if they're gardeners who have been doing it for a while, don't really realize the benefits of mulch. And I'm trying to get the word out too. So I'm really glad to hear that you guys have had such a great experience with that. Mulch, as you've discovered, does such a wonderful job of actually changing your soil, because what it does is it starts to decompose. It encourages that microbial life to occur where the soil meets the mulch, and then it reaches down into that soil. And so instead of becoming remaining that hard, almost lifeless clay, you know, hard pan, it starts having all of that beneficial activity going on.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, and I wouldn't have guessed that it would have been so beneficial to the layers deeper down. But from what we're seeing with our soil probe, because we use a soil probe just to check water, and we used to be pretty hard to push it down in there even when it was wet. And now it's like it just sinks right in.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
If you build and they will come.
Yeah, and we haven't done that much. So I guess just that, and mostly we mulch because we have a Bermuda grass problem, and we spent a lot of time weeding the Bermuda grass away from the root zone, and we just didn't want we wanted to minimize that grass coming back. So we mulched very heavily. And we're still, you know, still a constant battle with the grass, but we're working with it. We're slowly getting out of it.
Yeah, that's the other, well, there are several benefits of mulch. As you know, it improves the soil.
Yeah.
B, my favorite, it keeps the weeds down.
Right. Yeah.
C,
yeah.
As it decomposes, it adds nutrients to right. the soil. And then, of course, in our drought, you know, kind of conditions, it preserves water because you have that insulating aspect to the mulch that keeps the water from evaporating from the soil.
And I think we did learn a little bit, at least about with the mulch, because we fertilized probably 3 or 4 times, and I think we fertilized more than we may have without the mulch. And because we just kind of kept adding nitrogen, and then, you know, I think that mulch is using up some of the nitrogen, so we just add a little more nitrogen, and I mean, I think it's all to the best.
Yeah, you guys are doing absolutely the right thing. For our listeners who don't know, the microorganisms that assist in the breakdown of plant material, and that's what mulch is. It's, you know, ground up tree bark and other plant material. And the organisms that break that down and help it decompose use nitrogen. And so if you have that mulch taking some of the nitrogen away from your fruit trees, then you smartly added more nitrogen, because nitrogen is one of the key three ingredients that plants need to grow. Yeah, absolutely. So you guys are doing absolutely the right thing by adding that additional nitrogen to your soil.
We mostly learned by trial and error, because our leaves were yellow. And so we just felt like, oh my gosh, we need more nitrogen. And we just kept adding, you know, fertilizing until the color came back.
Smart. Yeah, very smart.
And the interesting thing that just happened was that the avocado trees, we have 4 avocado trees and 4 apple trees, and they looked great. But we went ahead and fertilized anyway, because it's just, they hadn't been fertilized, and we knew that they needed to be. But they didn't show any signs. They weren't showing any signs of, you know, weakness or anything. But about 2-3 weeks after we fertilized, there's all this new growth.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just phenomenal. We're like, we're blown away. So they apparently really responded to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The plants, our native soil doesn't always have the appropriate mixture of nutrients that plants need. And so giving them supplemental nutrients in the form of organic fertilizers, as you guys have discovered, is absolutely beneficial to them and helps them have really strong growth. I will just mention one thing, just because of the time of year, this is autumn, to our listeners. Now, don't go out and fertilize now. I know you did it a while ago. But to our listeners, if you have fruit trees and you're inspired by Michael to go fertilize, don't do it now. Now is the time when our weather is going to be getting cooler, and of course the active growth will be slowing down.
Good point.
Particularly with your apple, peach, and other stone fruit trees, deciduous trees, that's a hard word to say 3 times fast, but the deciduous trees, the ones that drop their leaves in the winter, are actually going to go dormant. And so you don't want to feed them and encourage them to grow when they're about to go into their dormant season.
Oh, okay.
But I think you guys probably knew that because you fertilized a while ago.
Yeah, it was kind of in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
And so the interesting thing is, maybe you know, that our apple trees, they flowered in the spring, but they're flowering again.
You know, apple trees are the craziest thing. When I take you out to my yard, you're going to see that I have apples on the tree and I have blossoms on the tree.
Okay, so it's not...
It's a unique, Southern California thing.
It's a Southern California thing.
A friend of ours, Master Gardener, is always saying, yeah, every time you touch an apple tree, it sends out new blossoms. Okay. They're just very prolific bloomers. And I suspect in the dead of winter, they won't send out new blossoms.
So does that mean they're going to set fruit in the fall?
They can set fruit. Okay. Yeah, we have seen fruit being set, you know, at different times of the year, which is kind of interesting to me. Well, I'm not an apple tree expert, so I can't tell you why that's happening, but we'll get our apple tree expert out to your garden, and
that would be great.
You can pepper him with all these questions.
We need them.
So how did you get that land for expanding your garden into the orchard?
So we had, the land was there. Of course, it was lawn. It was grass, and wasn't really being used for anything, and it was fairly level. And the orchard was something that the Verano community had in mind for some years. And I think people had talked about it years ago, but they just felt they weren't ready for it, in earlier times.
So was there a process that you went through to submit a request?
Yes, it was fairly extensive because, unfortunately, campus policy does not encourage fruit trees. So they have a list of approved plantings, and fruit trees are not on the list. I guess there's some concern that fruit trees could encourage rodents. So so we had to go through a process of submitting our plans to campus. And I don't know exactly who reviews that. But anyway, after some time, we did get it approved.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So they decided it was a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, and it's an orchard. It's a controlled thing. And, you know, and I don't think we're going to have a problem with rodents because we're not letting fruit just sit and rot on the ground.
Yeah, all I know from my personal experience and then also from our Master Gardener training that's the key. As long as you pick up fruit when it falls to the ground and as long as you harvest your fruit when it becomes ripe, you can control any, rodent activity.
I think our problem is keeping the fruit on the trees because, you know, we have people wandering up there and they're like, oh, fruit trees. They want to pick the fruit. So, I mean, our problem is going to be like, please don't pick the fruit. You know, we're kind of wait till it's ripe, number one. And two, we want to control this and distribute it to the people who actually spend hours working out in the orchard.
Yeah.
Right?
So please don't pick the daisies or please don't pick the apples,
So,
but you know,
well, it's a real draw. You know, people see fruit on trees and, you know, the natural instinct is to pick it. It's understandable.
What a great thing you're doing, though, for the entire campus community is you're connecting them to where their food comes from. Mm-hmm. Obviously they're getting inspired by, you know, seeing that fruit hanging on a tree, and it's the proverbial, you know, forbidden fruit, I suppose, in that you're just almost compelled to want to try it. So I really applaud you guys for bringing that to the community. I think it's the more that we can connect people to where their food comes from, the better.
I think so. It feels very natural. And we do have, so we've had two potlucks this summer.
Oh, fun.
So we have a potluck, and then right after that, we all go and weed in the orchard.
What a great idea.
Yeah. And
feed and weed.
Feed and weed.
Uh-huh.
And people, it's a very kind of nourishing communal event. And people really enjoy it. The kids love it, amazingly.
Oh, kids are all about gardening.
And we're doing very difficult weeding, and we're weeding this Bermuda grass, which is really hard to do because you have to dig it out and try to get the roots out and all this. But you know what? People are having a good time, like, weeding Bermuda grass because we're out in the orchard, and it's just the ambiance and the context of what we're doing. I think people respond to it.
So it sounds like you found that people just want to get close to the earth and close to where their food comes from.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's fabulous. You know, we're about out of time, and I just really wanted to thank you so much for coming. I think the conclusion would be you would encourage anybody in the UCI community to look into the community gardens that are available?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a very rewarding experience. It does take some time, but once you get your garden established, actually, if you're diligent about it, and if you mulch to keep the watering down and the weeds under control, gardening doesn't have to consume your life. You can get, you know, if you put the time in to get it established, then you can maintain it with a reasonable amount of effort. And the benefits are phenomenal to have your own organic, wholesome produce.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Well, I'm going to leave our listeners with one more web address so that they can get more information on the student-run garden, which is the Ants in Your Plants garden. And that web address is asuci.uci.edu. So I hope that folks will take a look at that website and find out more about the UCI Community Gardens, because it sounds like it's been a great experience for you.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks so much, Michael.
All right. Thanks for having me, Tina.
You've been listening to KUCI FM in Irvine at 88.9 on your dial.
If you have any questions regarding today's show, or if you have any other gardening questions, you can reach us at our website, www.ucceMG.com. Or you can reach us on our hotline, and our hotline is hotline, hotline, at uccemg.com.